This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Should you seek out a therapist or would a life coach benefit you more? And what's the difference anyway? US licensed marriage and family therapist Dr. John Benloy, who also practices executive life coaching, breaks it down for us. But before we get to that, we can't, of course, ignore the big news of the day.
No, we cannot.
And since you are US licensed, you have spent amount of time
in
the country.
That's right.
What's your take?
Well, first of all, I can't vote in the U.S., so I never really, put my own emotions into things. But it's interesting to watch what's going on. And I'm surprised. You know, I think just media that I'm exposed to is so pro-Democrat, so pro-Hillary that, so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen.
As a therapist, and this was the question that I was hoping to ask you today, knowing that I was going to end sort of my stint on air today with a therapist. Mm. For people who, everybody considers America a country divided by this election. Some would even say traumatized by this election. It's been stressful. There's been a lot of division, a lot of rhetoric, a lot of anger. And now you have, well, not exactly half, but you have more or less half the country deeply unhappy in a way that might be unique, because the anger feels so personal.
Yes, that's right.
How do you begin that process of reconciliation? I mean, not on a national level, just person to person, from you to your neighbor who has the Trump sign up or the Clinton sign up. How do you start that going?
Now, you can imagine my social media feeds are full of Americans because I've made so many friends there. People have lost friends as a result of this election process. And now I'm starting to see people talk about amending friendships and relationships on social media. Let's not let our differences get in the way of friendship, get in the way of harmony.
So it's all about just kind of starting that reconciliation process, even if it's still very raw? Because for some people, I think it might feel very new still.
Yeah. I think, first of all, it comes to grieving your losses and taking a look at some of the fears that you have, especially for those who are not happy about the Trump winning the election. And not only that, it's red all around, isn't it? So
the House, the Senate,
all red. Yeah. So accepting that that's what the people have chosen because there's free and fair elections. And coming to terms with that and trying to understand what's going on in your country, in America.
Well, if you've got any questions today, what we're talking about, whether or not a therapist or a life coach would be right for you. But I suppose if you've also been traumatized by the elections, you can also give us a call. That number is 03-771-09000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So while we're looking at the difference between a therapist and a life coach, let's start with the former. Could you define the role of a therapist?
Yeah. Well, a therapist, for the most part, is a mental health professional. So it is someone who deals with people who are struggling with some kind of mental health disorder. It could be something more normal, like feeling depressed over a long period of time, or something that is critical or severe persistent mental illness like schizophrenia. So a therapist falls under the camp of mental health, right? And contrasting it to a life coach, a life coach job is really to work with normal populations and helping the normal populations, the clients, to be able to reach the goals that they want to reach. They overlap, though, and that's where it becomes a little bit confusing.
What is that overlap in that Venn diagram? What's the middle bit?
Right. So basically, both professions are helping people to achieve the goals that they want, either to become functional again or to function better. And let's face it, many of us have issues that go below the line of functioning, as it were. And so life coaches working with clients sometimes will end up dealing with some childhood trauma that will surface, in the course of that relationship, that professional relationship. So then they start to have to deal with the client's old traumas that come up. Therapists, when working with clients, also have to deal with, say, workplace performance issues, right? Which is what a life coach could help with. Not necessarily just a life coach, but an executive coach, more specifically.
Well, yes. I mean, that's the thing. You practice executive life coaching.
Yes.
How does that differ from regular old life coaching?
You want the truth?
Now I'm afraid.
So I have been doing coaching-like work for a while as a therapist. So what happened was a lot of my clients are high-level executives. And after working with them, typically on marital issues, so they come in because they're really good at work, but they're really struggling at home. So, you know, husband and wife come in, and then before long, they realize that I have all this corporate and business background, right? So after a little while, then they engage me to do the work of helping them to perform better at work. So I've actually been doing it for a while. And my wife is actually trained. She's certified as a professional coach. So I asked her, what should I call myself? And that's the truth. Should I call myself a life coach or an executive coach? She said, actually, quite a lot of people use executive life coaching, meaning you cover both the workplace and also whole life. So I went with that. It was my wife.
Going for therapy or for life coaching in general, I think is something that's only really sort of become mainstream in our generation. For example, therapy to our parents' generation might have been just, you know, not something they would have considered. Would you say that right now life coaching has a better pickup rate?
Compared to therapy?
Yes.
I actually don't know in terms of globally. But I know that a lot of corporations are hiring life coaches. Actually, it's more executive coaching, you know. So coaching has many different aspects to it as well. You can be a business coach and, of course, a tennis coach, sports coaching that we all know about sports coaching. And you can be a life coach sort of all around. You can be an executive. That means anything to do with workplace. So a lot of companies have picked up executive coaching as a benefit for their managers, right? So that's where the pickup has come from because corporations are able to pay for it. But in terms of actual life coaching, I don't know. From talking to my wife about it, she said that it's not that prominent here in Malaysia.
One of the things that I was curious about earlier was it sounded as if life coaching, or at least the kind of coaching that you do, mm-hmm. arose out of a therapy setting in some ways. It's, you know, you were talking about other things and then you start to realize, oh, wait, hold on. There's this other stuff that could be done. Do people know the difference between a therapist and a life coach when they're initially doing that sort of shopping for help? You know, when you're thinking, OK, I have something I would like to
fix. For the most part, they don't know. Mm. Which is why I think this is a good topic, you know, to help people to understand the difference.
So both coaching and therapy professionals also wear a wide range of hats mm-hmm. as they work. What is the difference between being qualified as a life coach and qualified as a therapist?
So qualifications differ. In most developed countries, therapy is a mental health discipline, and so regulation is quite strict. And so I'm licensed in the U.S., more specifically in the state of Minnesota. I keep it going, even though I don't live there. Neither am I an American who can vote. So we have to learn laws and regulations because we're dealing with a population with whom we could cause harm. So we have to be very clear about how to take care of them. And we have to train in being able to diagnose psychopathology, for instance. Life coaching's qualification is a lot more loose. While there are, like this, I think it's called Federation of Certified Coaches or something like that. While they do have a sort of a qualification, it is not regulated in that sense because the way in which they position themselves, coaching, life coaches, and I say they, I should also include myself too because I do that, is that it's more about a relationship. And sort of a trained, empowering relationship to help you to be able to go where you want to go.
I'm speaking today with Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist. He also practices executive life coaching. And in light of that, is helping to break down the difference between a therapist and a life coach and to delineate when you should see one or the other. Up next, we find out about the importance of having a distinction between the two professions, as well as basically what to look for if you are looking for a therapist or a life coach. If you've got any questions, either about therapy or about seeking coaching for any reason, that number to call is 03-771-09000. You can text 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and my guest today is U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. John Ben Loy, who also practices executive life coaching. And it is that difference between one and the other that we're talking about today, whether or not you should seek therapy or a life coach if that's what you're after. Now, you explained earlier that there's a lot of overlap and there are also significant differences.
Yes.
What is the importance of having that distinction between the two professions? Are there potential pitfalls or obstacles that might happen if you don't have that line in place?
Yes. I think the line becomes a problem when those who are less trained think that they know what they're doing with their clients, especially if their clients are in a more vulnerable position. So put very simply, a life coach cannot do the work of a trained mental health profession. That's simply put, right? Now, the reverse is also true, that a mental health professional saying that he or she does life coaching, what gives you the ability to say, to do and help people in that capacity. But the population is different. It's a quote-unquote normal population. And so the harm is less the other way. The other person could just say like, well, you're not really helping me with what I want by. Whereas if you're a life coach and you claim to be able to work with someone who has severe persistent mental disorder and they don't know any better and they're relying on you, you know, for that safe relationship, but you're not really helping, you don't know how to say, I need to refer, that can become dangerous.
One of the things that I would like to kind of extract is, to me, when you need therapy is relatively clear. As you pointed out, if you're going through something in terms of your mental health that is interfering with the rest of your life, it's, if it's been prolonged, etc. But when do you need a life coach? Or is there no such thing as needing a life coach as such?
It's funny. It depends on how you think about it. Do you need a massage? Some people will say, no, I do need a massage at least once, you know, one a week, right? Depends on how you, I guess, see and live your life. Someone who would like to engage a life coach would see that as a need, as a necessity to have someone safe and trained to be able to journey with them to achieve their goals. I think when it becomes a quote-unquote need is when the workplace function is really in jeopardy. So, for instance, you have a senior manager who is just not performing and you don't know why. You know that this senior manager, he or she has, you know, has been functioning well, but for some reason, the past 6 months to a year, this employee is not meeting his or her goals and you cannot seem to be able to address that issue. Hiring an executive coach, and I say executive rather than life coach, it makes sense for the company to be able to help the employee that they value and want to be able to bring along to the next phase of the say, corporate change or improvement.
So if the reason why I haven't been able to perform, if the reason for that is that I have clinical depression, what happens then? I mean, would it be the job of my life coach or my executive coach to help me, or would it be the job of the executive coach to refer me on to a therapist?
Well, I think what would make sense in a corporate structure would be to, if the person is depressed, it's going to be very obvious, right? If they cannot tell the signs of depression, then if they have, say, executive coaching process there, executive coaches should be able to know their limits and should be able to know when to refer.
What are some of the typical issues that might be brought up with a therapist compared to a coach?
With a therapist, The way that I think about it and I explain it to people is, if you imagine, you know, sort of a line that runs across horizontally, right? Let's call this a line of functioning. And that line of functioning could be on a variety of different things. Could be parenting. The line of functioning could be it could be work, or it could be family life, relationships, marriage. So when you are dipping below the line of functioning, right, that's when you might need, and it's pervasive in your life, say 3 or 4 lines of functioning, you're below that. You might want a therapist to be able to help you get back into clinical health. But if you are functioning sort of at or just above the line of functioning, and you want to be performing much better at an enhanced capacity, that's when a coach comes in as very helpful and very handy.
Elle wants to know, what are the minimum requirements to be a life coach in Malaysia?
A life coach, there is, I think there are 2 different training schools that are available in Malaysia. I only know one of them, the one that my wife went to, which is the Corporate Coach Academy. I think they're larger. Going through their training and then getting that qualification will give you a certified coaching professional, I believe that's what they call it. I think it's connected to the International Federation of Coaches, if I'm not mistaken.
If any of you have any other questions about whether or not you should seek out a therapist or whether you might need a life coach, what any of this might entail, and the process of picking a therapist or a life coach, for example, that number to call is 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we had that question about requirements, mm-hmm. and linked to that is also the issue of regulation, mm-hmm. which is a contentious issue in this debate, because as you rightly pointed out, at this point, mm-hmm. most people could just up and say, well, I'm a life coach.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is your perspective on this? How regulated would you like the field to be?
I think given the population that life coaching is dealing with, I don't think it's really necessary for it to be regulated. The population, it's sort of like, you know, the population of tennis players. Do we need tennis coaches to be regulated? That's a lot of effort on the government to regulate tennis coaches. Is there a regulation for tennis coaching?
Not that I know of. I'm not sure.
Exactly. So I kind of think of life coaching sort of in that field. It's up to the customer to ask the right questions. How are you trained? You know, what are you trained in? You know, sometimes we meet people who may have been, say, a housewife, you know, for 40 years. But this is a housewife who has been reading on her own, has been studying and been thinking and been helping a lot of people. You know, at 60, she may be really wise. And, you know, interacting with her, you might find that actually she is just an amazing person for you to have a relationship with, you know, and go through some of your struggles as a 30-year-old mother, say.
Well, on that note, I mean, there is a distance when it comes to the therapist-patient mm-hmm. or therapist-client relationship. You know, there is necessary distance. Mm-hmm. The therapist doesn't necessarily have to let the client know, for example, oh, I'm very happily married and I have, you know, 3 kids and I'm coaching you through mm-hmm. and I'm helping you through your current, you know, broken
yes.
engagement, for example.
Yes.
But with a life coach, is there a need for the life coach to have some element of publicness about your life? Because if I'm going to trust you with the success of my mm-hmm. you know, career, I want to mm-hmm. know that you're successful.
Well, I think if we're going to call it a profession, say life coaching is a profession, then there needs to be some things that are stipulated about the professional. Even for me as a therapist, I do let people know, who am I, you know, as a person in my family life, so that you can make a decision whether or not you want to work with me. So that's my personal way of working. So I don't have a problem with that. And I think it should be the same for life coaches as well.
What are the major challenges in the field of life coaching in Malaysia at the moment that you've observed?
Mm-hmm. From what I heard, it's not easy to get clients. So, you know, at one time I did give a talk to some coaches. I had mentioned foolishly, because I was comparing to the U.S., that, wow, you know, executive coaching, you know, earns a lot more than therapy. And then later on, my wife, who was there, said to me, you're wrong. This is Malaysia.
Stop saying that in public.
That's right. So I stopped.
We have a call now from Erica. Good afternoon, Erica.
Hi.
Hi. Your question?
There are a lot of criticisms about therapists being like always dwelling in the past and life coaches always talking about the future and potential and possibilities. So I think it's very important for both to address both the past and the future. So if essentially like that, everyone does the same thing. So why is there two professions there?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question, Erica.
Thanks, Erica.
So I think it's a matter of emphasis. And when I do life coaching, I do have a tendency to focus on future. I do have a tendency to focus on goals. So for an example, I have one coachee who was having some trouble meeting his work productivity. And I got him to update me every day. You know, we set up a way in which he could track his progress, you know, and, you know, keep his vision in mind. And every day he had to write into me how he was doing. And of course, this was something he also agreed to do. That work itself is a very different energy compared to the work I do as a therapist. When I'm a therapist, looking into the past, I could spend, say, an hour and a half with a client. And, you know, unless you're trained in it, it can be a very, very exhausting conversation for you as the listener to be able to carry a lot of the pain and hurt of the past that people are going through. So I really kind of switch hats. I feel like two different people when I'm doing therapy and when I'm doing life coaching. It depends on the client. So the needs are quite specific, I think, for the two domains.
So when you switch off therapist mode, mm-hmm. what does that mean? I mean, for somebody for whom that's kind of your main bread and butter, mm-hmm. what happens when you're sitting down in front of someone and doing, you know, in some ways some similar things, going through their problems, what they would like to fix?
Yeah.
How do you switch off that side of you that I assume makes up, you know, a fair amount of your brain?
Well, just like Erica was saying, I'm one of these therapists who went into therapy as a profession after having had many years in business and after an MBA. So I was already in the business world in that sort of, you know, go, go, grow sort of a mentality when I switched over to stop everything, just listen, love the people, you know, take care of them. So I've always had the capacity to do both. I just have not really officially called myself doing both until this year. So not all therapists can do coaching work. I can tell you that for sure. And they're not interested. It's just not interesting to them to help normal, quote unquote, people to do better. You know, they want to help people who are really not functioning to do better. There's a satisfaction in doing that level of work.
So what then should I be looking for? Let's start with therapy. Mm. If I'm looking for the correct therapist for me, what are the questions that I should be asking? What vibes should I be picking up when I walk into a room or when I speak to someone on the phone? What are those questions?
Right. First of all, I strongly encourage some kind of write-up of the therapist that you can easily access. If there is not much information, question why. If you can see, you can look for my professional statement. It's full of stuff. People think it's every client I've had said that's really comprehensive. When I ask them, do you have any other questions of me? So first of all, a comprehensive statement of the therapist, what they do, how are they trained, what's their modality, how many years have they been practicing, etc., etc. And then from there, you want to be able to have some kind of a connection with the therapist. In the past, when I was not as busy as I am now, I would always give them some time to have a conversation with me, a short one, just to get a sense of who I am before they come in, so that they can decide. Always, always remember that you can terminate your therapy at any time, and you should be able to. At my clinic, we do not practice people paying up front for numbers of sessions, unless you're dealing with children and things like that, then a contract is made with the family. But I tend not to pay up front for therapy, and you can decide whether or not this works for you. And you can terminate anytime. Hang on a second. But when it comes to coaching, I charge a retainer. So you pay up front. So it's exactly, I feel like two different people when I'm doing this work.
So what then should I look for in a coach? If therapy entails all these questions I'm allowed to ask, you know, what are the modalities? Where did you train, etc.?
Yes.
With a coach, what are the questions?
Yeah, same thing. You want some kind of a professional statement. How were they trained? And I think very importantly for coaches is their life experience. So in my statement as a coach, which is not online, but because all of my coachees currently have been former clients. So I prefer to do it like that way.
Because, and there's some confidentiality there as well?
It's the same level of confidentiality, except that I am not as, they can access me at any time. So we would do online work, for instance, and they can access me at night even. It's a different population. They're well at this time. They want to do better in their work life. So for instance, I had one client who asked me to be a coach for her, and she was in the F&B. She was starting up a restaurant. And I actually told her I would look for a coach for her, a business coach, that had specialty in F&B. Because I don't have the knowledge in how to handle a restaurant that the coach with that experience will be able to handle. So very industry specific. If you're a pharmaceuticals guy, then you want somebody with, you know, pharmaceuticals background. Currently, I have one coachee who's in the banking sector. And honestly, when he talks to me, sometimes I don't know what he is saying. It's that complicated. He's also international. But he wants to work with me because I can ask the right kinds of questions. But I think like I've already asked them two or three times, are you sure you want to work with me? Because I can't speak your language.
So what does retainer mean? Can I also terminate that relationship whenever I feel like it?
Yes. The way I have done it, yes, I don't know about other people. So the way I've done it is once you pay a retainer, it's monthly. But then once you have paid it at the beginning of the month, you have to use up all your sessions for the month.
And then after that?
You can decide. But when you first contract with me, it's 3 months. Because when you contract with me as a coach, then I want to make sure that you get behavioral change. Behavioral change requires really hard work, right? You can't just sort of come in and I just find that it doesn't work so well.
What do you do when, in your opinion, or in your professional opinion rather, clients might need therapy, but they're seeking to avoid the stigma of it by coming for coaching instead?
It might be okay, depending on what their issues are. And again, some life coaches have quite a lot of life experience that what might be considered a mental health issue could be resolved by talking to a wise person. Right. So not all things need therapy. Let's be clear about that. Yeah.
When we say, you know, wise person, someone with life experience, I guess it comes back to the earlier point of do I need a specific life coach for me, or can I go for support groups? Can I find a mentor? I mean, would a mentor and a life coach kind of also have that sort of overlap? Perhaps not in such a dedicated fashion.
Actually, a mentor and a life coach are very similar. Yeah, I've done some mentoring work as well. And, you know, both really focus on what it is that the mentee or the coachee wants to achieve. And work them towards that process. Usually mentors are not paid. That's the difference. Whereas a life coach is paid. Now, compared to just the wise friend or the wise, you know, distant relative, what a professional can give you is that distance that you may want to sort out your own issues. Whereas if you, say, complained about your husband, you know, to a relative, you might find if that relative is not grounded in their own emotions and they're okay hearing your complaints, you know, you might find it coming back and creating more problems, for instance.
Considering there's that sort of split personality thing happening between, you know, yourself as a therapist.
Me?
And as...
Yeah, yes. Turning into Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you relate to your coaching clients versus your therapy clients? Is it very different in terms of that sort of relation?
Yeah, to begin with, it's a separate contract. Okay, so the contract looks completely different. So the contract, my description of what I do and who I am and what I focus on is about 6 pages long, right? And the payment is different because a lot of my coaching work is with internationals. All my coaches currently are not in Malaysia. So I charge in US, although maybe that's not such a good idea anymore. I'm just kidding. I really try to separate the two so that I can function with integrity in the different roles.
And just to sum up today, from where you're sitting, from somebody who does it both, mm-hmm. when should someone seek a therapist? When should someone seek a life coach? Again, just that, you know, a simple way of looking at it.
Right. I think if you can function in daily life, a life coach would be fine for you to try. But it's a pasar malam, you know. It's you pick and choose because there is no regulation. It's not as tight. If you're really feeling like you cannot function in that capacity, and there's 3 or 4 areas in your life that are being affected, actually a counselor might be a good person for you to seek out help from. You know, not necessarily a therapist that tends to be a little bit more mental health related. Counselors also work a lot with those normal populations as well.
Thank you very much for coming in today. I've been speaking with you, with U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist as well as executive life coach, Dr. John Ben Loy, and we've been discussing that distinction between when you should seek out a therapist and when a life coach might do it for you. You are listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.